Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. We are the world's number one internet talk radio network on the planet. Good to have you with us this evening. We have Manny Pureheart. He is the author of A Book of Answers. The Ultimate Oracle is You. Welcome to the show, Manny.
Well, thank you. Actually, it's Monty.
Monty. Oh, I stand corrected. Thank
you. Okay.
Monty.
Oh, you can sit corrected. I don't care.
Is that short for a longer name, or is that...
No, it's the name that Spirit gave me, and I used it for 2 years just because Spirit told me to use it before I found out it actually has a meaning. It's from Sanskrit, which is the oldest language on Earth, and it's quite often heard in the phrase Om Mani Padme Om. It means enlightenment or the jewel in the lotus.
How that fits you. I've had the pleasure of meeting you face-to-face for a rather long weekend at a Las Vegas show. So, folks, I can assure you this man indeed has a pure heart. He is, I can give him full credit for taking care of some back ailments that I'd had for many years. And he did a very short healing session on me, and my back has not been anywhere near that bad ever since. So for that, let me thank you publicly for that.
Well, you're welcome. You know, miracles don't take time because time doesn't exist.
It just happened. I mean, you removed your
hand. That's right.
My way. I was gone.
Yeah.
I was done. Very little problems with my back since then. Certainly nothing like what I've had in the past.
Well, I've been real blessed. I've been able to work with people with inoperable cancer, and the cancer goes away, or I work with people with surgically severed nerves, and all of a sudden they have movement and feeling back where they didn't, on and on and on. It's really wonderful to see the sorts of things that happen around me.
How did you get started with all of this? Has this been a lifelong thing for you, or adulthood?
I was going to say, how many lifetimes do you want me to go back?
Let's settle with this one.
Okay. Well, it all started when I died the first time. I've died, well, I say five times. You know, it's the line blurs somewhere in there, but I've definitely died at least three times and gone through the tunnel of light, had some very remarkable experiences on the other side, and stayed in touch. And part of that was learning to limit less. That was one of the major lessons that I got on the other side, was spiritual growth is never a matter of growing more. It is always and only a matter of limiting less.
That's confusing when you first hear that. I'm glad you said it more than once. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's let the people out there know what our call numbers are. Our direct call-in line for the USA is 877-270-8714. Canada, you can call us on 888-284-3264. And depending on where you're calling from, what kind of system you have, you may or may not need to put one in front of both of those. USA, 877-270-8714. Canada, 888-284-3264. We invite you to call in any time and often as we share the next hour. This hour will be uninterrupted. My guest this evening is Manny Pureheart, and Pureheart is one word. He's written a wonderful book, A Book of Answers, The Ultimate Oracle is You. And let me tell you folks about this book. This is volume one, so I'm anticipating further volumes from you. The Book of Answers is a book of words. For example, exuberance, calm, inventiveness. How many words are there? A couple hundred?
In volume one, there are 216 words that are addressed. In volume two, which should be the final volume, there will be approximately 235 to 240 more words. So between the two volumes, you're going to have almost 500 words that are commonly used in spiritual readings that will be defined from the point of view of a spiritual reading.
I have to read page 3.
Okay.
It says, this book in a nutshell. A, We are all created of the Creator by the Creator. We are each and all a part of the body and the spirit of the Creator. Therefore, we have no limitations except those we decide to accept for ourselves. I love that. We have no limitations except those we decide to accept for ourselves. And you just said that in another way.
Yep.
And C, there is no journey. There is only an arrival. I got chills when I read that. We are already home because we have never left it. That's a powerful two sentences. As
it's absolutely true in my belief and in my experience with death.
Death was an important event for you this lifetime, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I always tell people that dying is one of the most important things and one of the best things that's ever happened to me, and everybody ought to do it at least once.
At least once. And I've met many who have done it more than once.
Right.
Accuse them jokingly of doing it again just so they can go back and learn more. Okay, so it says, as you can see, this book is totally superfluous unless, of course, you have chosen to stop doing things in the difficult manner to which you have become accustomed. If that is the case, you may find this book invaluable. I love that. Better than the introduction, although that was beautifully written. Better than anything before you actually get to the words. The words, I pulled calm. You should see my book. It looks like a dog-eared mess. I use your book all the time when I'm writing essays and things for my newsletters. And I always give you credit. But,
well, thank you.
In fact, your book is on my site, I think. It's been on my site for a while.
Okay.
The words like entanglements and empowerment and reassurance and signs, I love the one about signs. Validation, that's such an important word. Visualization, honor, humor, surrender. It's just an amazing group of words. How did this cut of words, this group of words, come to you as the most important 200 plus that you had to put in volume one?
Well,
how did this group happen?
Spirit asked me to gather together as many words as I could find that were commonly used in a spiritual reading, whether it was tarot or a Christian word of knowledge or sheep entrails or any of the various ways of forecasting the future or giving somebody a reading. The same words get used over and over again. So what I actually did was I researched in my friendly local bookstores all the varieties of cards, the animal speak cards and the all the different cards, and I drew from them the words that called to me. And when I gathered together all these words, at that point it was about 435 words, I scrambled them up and just took the first 216, because that was approximately half the list, and wrote that book. So it's entirely by chance, and as most of us know, there's no such thing as chance.
That's true. I believe that. I have a question here, and you keep referring to spirit. How much of this is channeled, and how much of it is your wisdom? Because having met you, your wisdom and your energy is so apparent in this book, other than just the writer of the book. At the end of every essay, if I may call them that, there is a comment from Spirit. So how is it all channeled or all coming through you? Obviously,
none of it is channeled. Absolutely none of it. Because I know myself to be a part of the Creator. And having died several times, been through the tunnel, every time I do that, I learn to limit less. And as I learn to limit less, I reach ever higher. And so when I write, it literally flows from the well of my own awareness. And when I go to the comments from Spirit, I go into a mild meditation, and the words again come from the well of my own awareness, but at, I think, a higher level than I normally operate at.
You know, and nowhere in the book did I find that beautiful phrasing. Maybe in your next book you can put that in your introduction or something.
Yeah. You know, the book really isn't about me. It's about the reader.
Yes, you're right. I agree with you with that. But by telling people what you just told me, it reminds us that we are also of the well. It reminds us that we can do that.
What I think I do say that quite frequently, but perhaps in a different way. When I'm working with people, I tell them that everything that I have to teach, I can teach in four words. And the first two words are be love, and the second two words are limit less. And that's
that.
All I have to teach.
You know, you could write a whole book on the limit less.
Well,
your third book?
Well, there are four other books in the works right now.
Yeah.
You know, limiting less is, I will give some examples in some of my writing, but it's a very personal thing, and it's a very difficult thing, because we have been trained from birth that we can't be psychic, that we can't levitate, that we can't heal our friends and our neighbors and ourselves, that we can't affect the world. And all of these teachings that we have been taught since day one are false. They're utterly and totally false.
I agree.
So limiting less is a very, it encompasses everything. Our very thought patterns are created to help us to limit ourselves. We play back old tapes. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You'll never amount to any. Even long after the people that told us those things are dead, we still play them back, rather than saying, I am a child of the divinity. I am a part of the divinity. I have no limitations, and I am going to live that way.
What wonderful encouragement. And you mentioned the cards a while ago. You did research on the cards, and you created a round deck of cards, one word on each card for this book. Will you do that with the second book as well?
Right. The only difference between the two decks of cards is the color scheme for the first book and the cards is predominantly in the orange and the warm tones. And the color scheme for the second book and the cards will be the same designs, but it'll be in a rich royal purple tone.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
The cards, folks, are round and about the size of my palm, maybe a little smaller. And mine came in a bright orange, pretty satin bag with a drawstring on it.
They all do.
That's where mine live. And they're cards that you can, there's a three-card reading. Now, first of all, the cards have a word on them, and then they have an arrow. So a little bit, for those of you folks out there that know about the runes, you pick the card, and then you place it, and he's included diagrams for the three-card reading, the ten-card reading. There's one bigger than that, isn't there?
I don't recall all the readings. You know, what I put in there are suggestions, because the only rule is there are no rules. Some people feel more comfortable if they have rules to start with. See, that's that limitation thing. But I always tell people when I'm face-to-face with them, you can do any layout you want. You can say this card means this, and this card means this, and this card is what's going to happen if I do such and such, and you know, and on and on. And I have some wonderful stories of people that have just done spontaneous layouts and had the most in-depth and accurate readings you can imagine.
I loved it because being a tarot card reader, I'm all about cards.
Yeah.
And although I don't use these cards for readings for the public, they're on my desk. And the
some tarot readers are actually changing over and starting to use my system.
I can see why they would.
It seems to be much more personal.
Really.
Than tarot, according to the people that I know that have changed.
Now, see, I look at them as very personal for me. You know,
yeah.
That's why they say so close to me. There's a time traveler spread, which I found fascinating. Detail, stumbling block spread, review spread, 7-card reading, 10-card reading, and 3-card reading.
Right. And those are all just suggestions.
But what I'll do is sometimes I'll just reach in the bag and pull a card or two.
Right. And then go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The direction the arrow points when you first draw the card fine-tunes the reading. So if you draw the card and the arrow is pointing straight towards you, that's Spirit's way of saying, no big deal, we just want to bring your attention to this. If it's oriented at all towards the left or the feminine side, it indicates that either something is about to come into your life or that somehow there's a deficiency somewhere. There's not enough of this in your life, or you're not open enough or trying enough. To the right, of course, is the masculine, which is the opposite. It means that something has just come into your life, or it also can mean that you're being too aggressive and trying too hard, trying to be too controlling. The more that it gets to the right or the left, the more intense that message to you is, that there's too much or too little. If it gets up halfway on either side, that becomes what Spirit calls a critical issue, and it's something you should really be paying attention to. If it gets up into the top quadrant, I tell people that's Spirit's way of saying, do I need to come down there and look you in the eye and have a little chat about this? Or it could also mean tremendous abundance or tremendous deficit. And the more you use them, like anything else, the more you use them, the more you become attuned to the nuances of the meanings.
I'm going to have to do more of that, because I don't do a 10-card spread or anything like that. I'll just pull it.
Yeah.
And, or else just open the book. Let the book. Sometimes I don't even think about a question or an issue. I just let the book fall open. And it, you know, you would think that it would fall open repeatedly at the same place, but it doesn't. It just flips, and there it is.
Right. We've got an electrical storm in the area here, so I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, so I'll do my best, but I just want to let you know.
Thank you. Where are you?
I'm in Central Oregon.
Okay. I was wondering if you were in Kansas. Kansas is still having their problems.
Yeah.
Last week we were on the air with a horrible, horrible lightning storm going on in our area, and my guest lives up on the lake, and we lost her during the process. We had to reconnect.
Yeah.
So that's the crackle that I'm hearing in the phone, is your electrical storm.
Right. I'm going to switch to a hardwired phone here and see if that'll help.
Okay.
Oh, my. There. Is that better? We just blasted out radios from here to Nova Scotia.
Uh-oh.
So, anyway, yeah, I've got a much better connection now.
Oh, that is better. Good.
Yeah. Some static.
Are the cards going to change any at all other than color? You'll still have the arrow and the one word?
Right. No,
extension. It's not a replacement, or it's not a different type of reading facility.
Right. What Spirit has told me to tell people, it's a fine-tuning of the reading that's in the book. Spirit says, you know, I would be both arrogant and foolish if I was to tell you that I had your answers. You're the only person that has your answers. What the book does is it helps you to look at things, see things, and think about things from a different and a new point of view to show you where you've hidden your own answers.
Say that again. I love that, to where you've hidden your own answers. I love that.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, again, we're taught to limit ourselves, and one of the ways we limit ourselves is to hide our answers and then go around.
Why do you think that's so?
Because, in my humble opinion, it serves the church and state to have the populace be confused and disempowered. And I think that's why
we... You don't think it's Spirit in some way that's doing the confusing?
Well, you know, if it was Spirit doing the confusing, then there wouldn't be people like me trying to bring more light into the world.
The numbers that you can call in are USA 877-270-8714, 888-284-3264 for you Canada folks, 888-284-3264. would love to have any and all calls this evening. This is an uninterrupted hour. I know that you, as a psychic and a practitioner in the metaphysical world, you're a healer, you're a teacher, you're a psychic, and those are just words that I'm sure we could add a long list behind that. I'm sure you felt the shifts that are going on with the energy on planet Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Have you received any messages from Spirit about what's causing that or where we're going with this as an Earth, as a body?
Well, you know, I really don't worry about the future too much because I have a gut-level knowledge, awareness, that all things are in divine order in all ways at all times, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. Having said that, I just last week came to a realization, which I think Spirit probably helped with, that the upcoming shift in 2012, December 21st, 2012, which is when the Mayan calendar ends, and it also just happens to be the one time in nearly 26,000 years that our solar system lines up perfectly with the galactic core. But, and everybody's thinking gloom and doom and all that. What would happen if when we aligned with the galactic core, that all of a sudden everybody was fully imbued with their natural gifts of healing and psychic development, connection with spirit? It would make lying impossible. It would make war impossible. It would make hatred impossible. It would be the beginning of the millennium.
What a shift that would be. What a beautiful gift that would be.
Yeah, so I'm just going to hold that thought.
If enough of us hold that thought, maybe it'll be.
Well, absolutely it will be. Perception creates reality.
Yes. I believe that. And I, for one, I believe that because more and more of the population is becoming aware of these shifts in their own way, not necessarily because somebody's telling them about them, but in their own
right.
way, I think more and more people are gathering with that new knowledge or new knowledge to them, even though they're asking questions about it and maybe being scared, maybe being a little confused, maybe think they're going crazy, but at the same time in their heart know that they're not. I think the new knowledge that all of this is happening, it's kind of the word is spreading a little bit so that we are not all scared to death. We have groups that we can go to and talk about these things and get back up. And it's not quite so scary when these shifts happen. Hearing a lot of my reading folks come in and say, you know, time is just a real weird thing for me now. It's like time stands still at some point. Or they'll say, I'm seeing shadows over shadows, and I'm don't know whether they're spirits or don't know whether it's a dimensional thing. Hearing a lot of people talk about dimensional shifts. So
mm-hmm.
with your book and your knowledge and what you write about and how important words are and the vibrational shift that happens when we utter or write words, I think it's a wonderful gift from you with Spirit. It's just wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I encourage folks to get his book, The Book of Answers, and sift through them for your own directional and guidance. Tell them how they can get the book, where they can get the book, and your website information.
Okay. They can test drive the book before they actually buy it. They can go to my website, which is letter I, number 4, letter C, number 4, letter U.com. And when you write it down and read it, it says I4C4U.com.
I love that.
And you can get a free mini reading, and you'll find that even the free mini readings are always right on. You can order the book from the website with the cards, and just for the fun of it, there's also about 160 original greeting cards that are ranged from silly to spiritual that you can send for free from the same website. You can also contact me and email me from the website. I do distance healing, distance readings, and distance counseling. So distance doesn't matter. You know, when you're dealing with spirit, time and space don't exist.
Time and space, those are other subjects that are coming up a lot. We've already talked about the time thing, but spatial conceptions are, people are asking a lot about space and moving through space, even putting their body in one room to another, that odd things are happening with them. What would you like to share with the public that we have not gone over?
Boy, there's so much that my heart is full and my mouth is empty. I would say that probably, I've already said it once. I have had the blessing of having died several times and been through the tunnel of light and had just incredible experiences on the other side and have stayed in touch. As I say, the one single most powerful and most meaningful thing that I was taught on the other side was simply to be love in every word, in every thought, in every deed, in every prayer. And that's how I try to live. I wish I were better at it.
As you grow and as you grow in the human body that's been gifted to you, you probably will get better at it, in your opinion. See, I've had the blessing of having met you and shared your energy, and you would, in some ways, you would be scary if you got any better at what you do. But I know you will, because that's what we strive for. We strive as metaphysicians and as human beings in general, we strive to be the best we can be. And that's what, behind all these words that you've put in essays, that you've put in your book, that's what you're telling us. Continue to be your best. Strive to be your best.
And
by giving us the energies that this book, that these words carry, you help us do that.
Right. The Spirit has told me that what we call spiritual growth is not growth at all. It's a matter of limiting less. And the Spirit has told me that if each day you limit yourself less, there will come a day where you will know yourself to be limitless. And that's the day I'm waiting for.
How many times do you think you've worn a collar or been a monk?
To the best, I have seen hundreds and hundreds of my own past lives. And I know that I have been in service to the Creator since before there was a planet, and I'll probably be in service long after there's been the Earth, after the Earth is gone. I have memories of having been a priest, a monk, a priestess in many, many different cultures. I have some very powerful memories from Atlan or Atlantis. I have others from Central America, others from Tibet, with names and dates and places and things. As such things go, I've had some pretty good confirmations over the years.
Why do you think you had to come back in body this time? With a track record like that, obviously being a teacher.
Who said I had to come back?
I just thought. That's why I stopped. When you have a track record like that, I truly believe we get to choose
whether
we want to come back, or maybe we get sent back on assignment, so to speak. But you have some. I don't know. Do you think you can teach more from the other side, or teach more here in body?
Well, since most material beings have so much difficulty perceiving anything other than material, the best way to work with them is to become material.
That makes sense. It's a little bit like, if you want to understand a child, get a child to ask them or talk to them. It's a little bit like that, I think.
Right.
It's a great answer.
All the things that I've been, all the places I've been, all the accomplishments from other lifetimes don't mean a thing. The only thing that means anything is who and what I am right this instant.
Mm-hmm. And where do you go from here? What are your plans now? You're completing another book, and you have four more in the works.
Well, my plan is to follow Spirit's guidance wherever and whatever it may be, to continue to be of service, to move through the world and touch other people's lives and hearts with love and watch them blossom and grow, and they in turn will touch other people's hearts with love. Hopefully I'm very contagious.
My grandmother used to say that everything we did was touched by, even if we did it on a one-on-one, it was actually being touched. We were actually touching 10 or more. And those people were touching 10 or more.
Right.
So I've tried to keep that in mind as I've lived my life. So that's what you're saying, too.
Right.
Are you doing book tours?
Yeah, I travel pretty extensively throughout the Pacific Northwest. I'll be going into Canada, this fall for an expo up there. And I just have a real strong feeling that I'll probably be going to the East Coast either this year or next year and start working in that area as well.
When can we look for your other book?
When I get a chance to finish them.
Okay. How close is Volume 2 to being finished and published?
Well, it's been half done now for about 3 years. So,
well, we cracked the whip on you.
Right. Well, just arrange for me to win the lottery so I can quit going out and trying so hard to make enough money to pay the bills that I can sit down and do nothing but write.
I understand.
Even that is in divine order. And I wouldn't trade my travels and my touring and all the lives that I get to touch through that. I wouldn't trade that for anything. So I may sound like I'm complaining, but I'm certainly not.
I have clients that are writers, and they one guy told me not too long ago, he said, I've done more writing on airplanes in the last year than I have done writing in the last five. So
right.
It's interesting. Some people, they find that kind of helter-skelter kind of schedule is finding a peaceful way of doing things. I wish I could. I'm like you. I need to. This, on trips is not where I need to be at all to do
right.
that kind of writing.
Yeah, so if I could just get my bi-location down a little more so I could just bi-locate to wherever the expos are and do the expos and then bi-locate back home and not have all that drive time.
I understand that. They can find your schedule on your website?
No, actually they can't because I haven't got around to putting it on there yet. I will be in Sun Valley, Idaho for Memorial Day weekend. And I'm away from my computer right now, so I don't have all that information real handy. I think the weekend after that, I will be in Spokane, Washington. And then the weekend after that, I will be at the Santa Rosa Health and Harmony Festival in Santa Rosa, California.
That is quite a span there.
A lot of driving, especially at $4
gas. Do you ever make it down to Texas?
As soon as somebody buys me an airplane ticket.
Okay. There are some fairs in Texas that are quite large. Of course,
yeah.
The whole life. You do some of the whole life fairs, don't you?
I have not done any of the whole life. I've been operating on a budget for a lot of years, and I'm not complaining again. You know, I love doing what I get to do, and I know that the appearance of the lack of funds is just Spirit's way of saying keep doing what you're doing.
True. Have you done Colorado, Shanti Fairs in Colorado, Denver and Colorado Springs?
No, I've done several in San Francisco and Seattle and Spokane and several small ones around Seattle. I do Portland, Oregon, and I'm going to be doing one in Missoula, Montana a little later this year. And like I say, in Salmo, B.C. So I'm expanding a little bit, but as the gas prices go up, I'm also contracting a little bit. So we'll see where
it brings. I've heard a lot of readers and vendors say that's become a real issue for them.
Yeah, it really has.
There's,
you know, when you're driving 1,000 miles over a weekend, it makes a big difference.
The reason I ask about Colorado is because Shanti's fairs are always huge, and tremendous amount of people through the door.
Yeah.
They're wonderful fairs, whether they're in Denver or Colorado Springs.
Well, you know, I'm absolutely open to anything Spirit wants me to go to, and if the Spirit tells me to be there, I'll be there.
Some of our fairs here in Texas are huge. I don't know that the one that we have here in Austin would serve you other than to meet new people, and I don't know that it would cover your expenses. It's big, but it's not one the size that you would need to cover everything,
yeah.
I don't think, unless we could get you to stay with someone here and not at least not have a hotel bill.
Well, that helps a lot. Most of the places I've gone, there are people that literally stand in line to offer me their homes, and that's a blessing.
Yes, it is. I've been fortunate to do some cities like that too, and it's more fun that way anyway when you get to stay with
them. Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Let's get back to your cards. You do a lot of phone consultation?
I do, and you know, I'm what's referred to as a pure psychic. I don't use my book and cards to do readings. I just pull information out of the air, and it seems to be right about 95% of the time, if not more.
Yeah, I would imagine that you wouldn't use the cards. The cards are great for what we were talking about a while ago. And frankly, I think I'm gonna try to do some readings for other people. You know, like I said, I'm a tarot reader, but these would be fun to get to know in that realm because I've only used them for myself. So.
Now that you know they work and they're accurate, you can
mm-hmm.
reach out and touch other people.
Oh, boy, are they. They're wonderful. But like I said, you should see my book. It's a dog-eared little mess.
I've got one client who purchased one of my first books from me, wore it out, bought a second book, wore it out, and has now ordered a third book.
I referred this book a lot to people.
Yeah.
And when I first got it, it stayed in the living room on the dining room, on the table, and every time somebody would come over, I'd have them open the book.
Yeah.
Right on with what they were going through at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a lot of fun to work.
It's uncanny how accurate it is.
If you could we're going to play what-if games here. If you could have a mentor or a teacher through history, who would you want to have sat with over tea or something? Shared a meal with?
You're asking a really tough question because when I the first time I died and went through the tunnel of light, I connected with a being that I know to be the Christ, and he told me, you know, spiritual realm, we are going to teach you for the first year, and we are going to block you from reading anything or talking to anybody or doing anything, of a spiritual nature other than our teaching. After that first year, you can follow anybody you want, you can read anything you want, you can shave your head and go sit with a begging bowl if you want. Well, after Spirit teaches you directly for a year, I'm afraid there's not too many people on this planet that I think I could find enough value consistently to call my teacher. I hold in very, very high regard the Dalai Lama. I was very blessed to spend almost 24 hours in his presence several years ago.
What a gift.
Yeah. And, you know, there are good people everywhere. And so I see everybody as my teacher. In fact, Spirit says, you refer to me as a teacher. I consider myself to be a somewhat successful student who is sharing what he has learned so far. To me, that's what a teacher is. He's just a fairly successful student.
I like that reversal.
Well, I think it's truth. And if somebody thinks of themselves only as a teacher, perhaps they've lost track of the fact that they should be a student also.
I tell people all the time that I don't have students. I just share what knowledge I have with others.
Exactly. Well, there's no such thing as teaching. Yeah. There's only a willingness to learn.
Yeah. And I've been blessed with having some fabulous people come to share time with me. And I told a group of people the other day, I said that the last class I had, the last two classes I had, I learned more from them than I think they did from me.
Absolutely.
They just gifted people.
Right.
So it's wonderful. I have a list of folks that I would someday like to meet or at least share a lunch or something with them. Not that I ever will, but that doesn't mean that I can't.
Dalai Lama would. There's some limitation. Not that I ever will. You just knocked out any possibility of that happening.
No.
Yes.
There's a reality that I live with in that some people on the list that I have, there's no doubt in my mind I'll meet them someday. Might be an airport. I might get to spend 15 minutes with them, but I will. I know. When I make my list, the names get bigger. The ones that I know I will run across. The names get bigger. And the others I just send good wishes to.
Yep.
You know, continue to be successful. Continue to share with us what messages you have for planet Earth. And that's okay. You know, I'm recognizing them in their own way, and I will get to meet them on some level at some point. But on an earthly level, I know the ones I'm going to run across. And that can be
good.
Don't know how. But it's, in your case, you're right. How could you even look at anybody else after you've had that 1 year of teaching and the sharing of that knowledge? Who could you possibly have looked at in a body that would get your attention?
And there's so much that Spirit taught me that the words don't exist to transmit as words. I can only transmit it through my energy, through my work, through my ability to love above and beyond what most people can love.
You know, I asked you a while ago, so where do you go from here? You know, and you'll continue to grow, and you know that Spirit continues to teach you. You know that Spirit continues to share that precious knowledge, and you continue to share it with us, and that's what's important. That's all that's important.
Yeah, you know, as far as where I'm going to go, it's going to be wherever Spirit leads me. I don't even pretend to have a plan.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you over the static.
The
static is coming back. It's beginning to be interfering. What is the old saying, the best laid plans of mice and men?
Well, and again, all things are in divine order. So, you know, it is that it is, and it doesn't matter. We'll just do the best we can. See, it's a very interesting lesson that I received several years ago about living what I teach, and I'll share it with you if you don't mind.
I'd love to hear it.
My father was an icon in my life. He was the most spiritual man I've ever known, and one of the most gentle men. And when he had a major heart attack, he was living in San Diego. I was living in Oregon. My brother, who's also a psychic and a healer, was living on the East Coast, and for various reasons we couldn't travel. And my brother and I were in communication with Spirit and also telepathically and also by the telephone. And we were both trying to work with Dad to heal him and bring him back into good health. And it felt like that was not going to happen. And so I called my brother just because the communication is clearer. I mean, we can be absolutely certain what we're saying rather than in telepathy. You got a pretty good idea, but you're not always 100% certain. So we agreed that Spirit had told each of us to let Dad make his own decision, and it felt like he was going to leave. And when that happened, I hung up the phone from my brother, and I sat, and I began the grieving process. I began weeping. Spirit let me blubber for about 5 minutes, and they, metaphorically speaking, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "What do you think you're doing?" And I said, "Go away. I'm grieving. My father's dying. Leave me alone, damn it." And Spirit says, oh, and what is it you teach about death and dying? So I start this litany of, you know, it's a release from pain, from discomfort, it's freedom from the body, it's return home, it's, you know. And I was going on like this, and Spirit interrupted me. And in the sternest voice I've ever heard from them, they said, either live what you teach or stop teaching it.
Whoa.
Yeah. That is a major, major lesson. And it applies to everybody.
That's another nutshell. In a nutshell.
Yep. You know, and even if you don't know your teaching, if you can live what you say you believe, or stop saying you believe it.
But that doesn't mean that we're not human, and it doesn't mean that we're going to cry, or we're not going to cry.
Well, absolutely. But they were making a point to me. You know, that, you know, in the position that I have in other people's estimation, should I be openly grieving the passing of my father, when, as somebody who has already died several times myself, I know that it's cause for celebration and not for pain. It was my own selfish human self bemoaning the loss of the physical presence of my father on this planet, even though his health was terrible. Is that an act of love, to wish that somebody has terrible health stays around? So it created a lot of things for me to think about. And there is definitely a time for grieving, but there's also a time for not grieving anymore. And, you know, it's... There's a balance there as to how long you how long it's appropriate to grieve somebody, no matter how much you love them.
Well, and some people say that the grieving process holds spirit back, that spirit will hang around to try to comfort us.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen. I also work with the departed, so and I have seen that happen.
And they need to get on with their lessons.
Oh, absolutely.
Their progress. Yeah.
Right.
Because I think every life that we live is a teaching, is a school within itself.
Yeah.
It's the changes that we go through. Let's remind folks again those numbers. USA, 877-270-8714. Canada, 888-284-3264. If you happen to be on the computer at this time, on bbsradio.com, you'll see those numbers. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland, and my guest this evening is Monty Pureheart. He's the writer of A Book of Answers and creator of the Answer Cards. You can find him at www.i4c4u.com. Those are letters and numbers, i4c4u.com. Check out his website. You can get a mini reading on the website, learn a little bit about the book itself, test drive it, as he says, for free, and order it from that site, along with the cards. They are a kit, and they are worth your time and energy and your pennies. I've had them for a couple of years now, and they're a little dog-eared. So you folks out there, enjoy, please. It's... what I find so wonderful about the essays is that they're long enough to keep your attention and to keep you going, but they're short enough that you can read them in just a matter of minutes, and then you read the comments from Spirit, and then you can reread it, and there's always some phenomenal sentence or something that just hits exactly what you needed to hear or feel for your day. If you have a situation, I pull a card and look at it and look up the meaning of the word. You would think by now I'd have most of this book memorized. Mm-hmm. But that's the fun of it. I've had it for a couple of years now, and even though I've pulled the same words many times in situations, something always hits me.
Now, there are many layers of knowledge in each essay.
Well, and I think it's
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, each time you read it, you're going to be in a different place, and you're going to understand it differently.
And even though I've read the sentences, every one of them, I've never skipped a sentence. Even though I've read them, sometimes I'll read that over again, and it's like that's the first time I've read that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think what you're saying comes in. As we change,
right.
We pick things up differently.
Right.
So I've thoroughly enjoyed the book, and I'm looking forward to Volume 2 when you and Spirit have time to get it to us.
Okay.
And where are you next? What's your next stop?
Well, next, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, I will be in Sun Valley, Idaho for a four-day show there. And then the next weekend after that, I believe I'll be in Spokane, and then the next weekend after that will be Santa Rosa, California.
That's a lot of driving.
Yep.
From where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
My guest is a teacher and a healer and a psychic, among other things. I said a while ago we could probably put many things behind those three, but we'll just synopsis it with that.
Yeah.
And leave it at that. You can reach him by email at manny@i4c4u.com. and make arrangements for a phone consultation. He is considered to be a pure psychic. He doesn't have to have the words or the books, and that makes him even more invaluable. Also does distant healing, which I was fortunate enough to have person-to-person healing, which was very effective, and I'm very grateful for. So, gosh, how long has that been? Three, four years ago?
It's been over 3 years now, 3.5 years. Usually the work, you know, not always, but usually the work that I do is total, instant, and permanent.
Well, you worked on me, and you worked on Kat Avino, another reader from New York.
Right.
And Kat has had multiple back surgeries. Multiple.
Right.
And ever since I've known her, she's been in some sort of pain one way or the other. And your work on her that day... she's had surgery since then, but not on her back, on her neck. And her back has not, she's not shared any pain with me at all since you've worked on her. So,
well, you know, I've learned that, you know, that the healings that I do can be limitless also. I was in San Juan Islands, and a 76-year-old lady came to me that had inoperable cancer in both lungs, and she told me that Spirit had told her that I was the one that was going to be able to cure her of it, and I thought, no pressure here.
Thanks, Spirit.
So Spirit had me literally take her cancer into my lungs, which was something I'd never done before, and it kind of set, you know, took me aback for a half a second, but if that's what Spirit wants, that's what I do. I took it into my lungs. I could feel it in my lungs. I was having trouble breathing, and I just concentrated on it, and I got rid of every single cell. It took me about 45 seconds or so, and then I told her, take a deep breath. She took a deep breath. She started crying. She says, I haven't been able to take a deep breath for months, and I haven't been able to cry since they told me I had cancer. I came home 3 days later, and there was a message on my phone. She'd gone to her doctor. They'd taken x-rays. There's no cancer anywhere in her body.
Wow. Did she ever tell people what happened, or doctors what happened?
Oh, yeah. So that's, I've just learned, you know, it's not up to me what kind of a healing happens or if one happens at all, but I know in most cases I get what I ask for, and as I say, it's usually total, instant, and permanent.
How long have you been doing the healing work?
In this lifetime? well, you know, I just passed an anniversary. I awakened on my 42nd birthday. I awakened enlightened that morning, and with no warning at all, and began doing healing work almost immediately because Spirit was telling me to. And I just had my 20-year anniversary. I just turned 62 here was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So, and that was my 20th anniversary of my enlightenment and the beginning of my healing work.
Happy birthday a week late.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for sharing your life with us. Your kind of life takes a lot of energy.
Well, luckily I have access to all the energy in the universe.
As we all do, if we would all learn how to use it. Learn how to tap it. And tapping it is not enough. You have to tap it and use it.
You have to limit less.
Limit less.
Yep.
If you would like to leave some words with us this evening, what would they be?
Love one another, love yourselves, and be love and limit less.
Be love and those are your mantras, aren't they? Be love and limit less.
That's everything I have to teach is those four words, be love and limit less.
I'm waiting for you to write the book that's entitled Limit Less.
Well, maybe a long wait.
Oh, come on now.
But you could write it.
That's not one you... Huh?
You could write it.
But it's not my story to tell.
Oh,
it's yours.
As you take it as you apply it to yourself, think of all the wonderful adventures and lessons you'll have that you could share.
That's true.
Limitless.
Let me get this in real quick before my producer cuts us off. Linda Drake will be with us next. Don't go away. Linda Drake will be with us next week. She is an author, a psychic, and a healer in her own right. She has written Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. It is death, grief, and communicating with loved ones in spirit. In fact, Linda's on tour right now. She's in Florida. She'll be back next week. And I don't know where she'll be when we're on the air next Wednesday, but she'll be with us. You can find her at lindadrake.com if you want to check out her book. We're not going anywhere. We have a few minutes. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. And we are, Monty Pureheart is with us. He's the writer of A Book of Answers. The Ultimate Oracle is You. I'd like to talk more about The Ultimate Oracle is You. I love that statement. That is truly getting within ourselves and finding direction within. Did I interpret that right?
That's what the book is all about, is teaching you to go within, to find your own answers, and to trust the answers that you find.
Boy, that is a big word, Monty.
The whole object of the book is to get to the point where you no longer need the book.
I love that. That word trust is one of the hardest things to help folks with when it comes to opening up and taking what they get from spirit and using it.
Right. The more you trust, the more you'll be given to trust.
Thank you, Monty, for being with us this evening. It's been a delightful hour. Come back and see us soon, promise?
Okay. Much love to you. Bye-bye.
Love and light. Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you, folks, for being with us. Take care. See you next week.
Bye.